for that wording. I have got to say you did a much better job of it than I did at 8 o'clock. As I was reading it this morning, I suddenly realised that I've read IKEA instruction booklets that were clearer than my reading. But what it's basically saying is, God loves you, you love God, love comes from God. But it was a bit more complicated. And it's no surprise then that I'm not preaching on that reading this morning. Absolutely none at all. The great thing about having options is you can pick the easy way out. I was looking at the readings earlier this week, and I'm a fair few of you. How many remember the ESB? That good old thing, 1980, was the revised service booklet that was replacing the last modern one that we had, which was 1662. Well, in fact, that's untrue, because in 1928, they did revise the service book. They forgot to accept it as canon law. So far, for about 30 or 40 years, according to church law, the canon that we were using wasn't actually official, which I had great joy in telling my very traditional home church parish when I found out. But it was okay. But the ASB did a wonderful thing. I remember on initial training, we had to draw almost like a bicycle wheel, and each time there was a segment. There were 52 segments, plus a couple of extras, and each Sunday had a name. And those names could be Proper 16, Proper 23, Proper... Everyone had a special name, but this Sunday was Ascension Sunday. And it made me realise I remember very little about the Ascension. It doesn't actually go into current, contemporary Anglicanism. It is still celebrated, Ascension Day is still celebrated throughout the world. In fact, we are one of the few countries, apart from Spain and Italy, which is really odd, that don't have a national bank holiday or a national holiday on Ascension Day. Even secular countries like France and Germany have Ascension Day as a bank holiday. In Germany, I was thrilled with this, but in Germany I suddenly found out Ascension Day is actually Father's Day as well. And the problem is, on Father's Day, it's actually called Mum's Day in German, I think, they all get on little trucks and in horse-drawn carriages. They get on the back of these carriages with all their friends, they pile as much beer as they can and as much food as they can onto them, and they go out into the forest. They spend the entire day with Mum, drinking very deeply. They come back at the end of the day, so you can imagine all the Germans are, very proper and very correct and very smart, with their ties round their heads, singing, falling off the back of trucks, and they're absolutely blind drunk. In fact, a few years ago, the German government, one of the ministers, tried to dissuade them from doing it. It said it wasn't particularly gratifying, both for Germany or in remembering that this was Ascension Day. So for us, that nobody would follow it anymore. Fat chance that worked. And it didn't. But Ascension Day, what is it? What is it? Sorry. The Holy Spirit's next week. In fact, I remember one of the first times I ever did, somebody's phone went off, and I just talked about how does God speak to us, and the phone went off. So we have an unconscious sermon then. Right, so Ascension, what is Ascension? Well, why does Ascension Day always happen on a Thursday?
Does anybody know? Why don't we have Ascension?
Why don't we have Ascension now? A Sunday. Yes.
Is that because that's when Jesus went to heaven?
It is. Ascension is when Jesus went to heaven. But that is really a good answer, because it was 40 days after his first being seen. So it's 40 days.
It's no good all nodding to each other now. You should have said something.
It's 40 days, and 40 30 days, obviously it comes out on Thursday. So Ascension Day was actually called Ascension Thursday. And then what happened was, oh yeah, when is Pentecost?
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday. So it's 10 days on from Ascension Day. So that's how it's worked out. So Ascension Day comes at different times in the year because it depends when Easter is. Sensible. So that's the rock of Ascension. I don't know, I know very little about it apart from that's when Jesus ascended. But actually, whilst I was looking at it earlier in the week, I found this great article by an American scholar called Brian Tabb, who was a Bible lecturer in the south of America. In Southern America, yeah. And he comes up with 6 points why Ascension is important. And I really like them. Because I haven't considered Ascension to be that important. It was just one of those things that came in between the excitement of Easter and the huge excitement of Pentecost. Something that needed to be done. It was like loading the dishwasher after a meal. It just needed to be done because it was tidy. But first, let's look at these points. So the first point that I want to make is that Ascension isn't the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, but a continuation. If I look in the book, in Luke's books of Acts, in chapters 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, "O Theophilus, I have dealt you with all that Jesus began to do until the day that he was taken up." And the word that struck me was began. Not all the work that he'd done, but he began. So this was the start of something. Ascension is the start of something, not the end of his time here on earth. It says that this was the start of a new direction to Jesus' ministry. On earth. But even though he wasn't on earth in a human form. And I've often thought that Ascension, as I say, was an end when he left the earth. The disciples were left on their own. But again, it was things that Jesus began to do. The second point I'd like to make is that the ascended Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his people. If we look at the readings in Luke 24. Luke 24 records that after his resurrection, Jesus told his followers, "I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." The coming of the Spirit was also prophesied in the book of John, where it says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And this promise is fulfilled by the exalted heavenly Lord Jesus. So Jesus, nearing the end of his time here on earth in human form, was sent to that position on the right hand of God, and then from there sent the Holy Spirit 10 days later. He was on a mission. A mission to go from this earth to sit where he had always been with God, and then to be able to enable himself to send the Holy Spirit on the people 10 days later. The one thing that does strike me, you know when you read the Bible for gazillion years, and then all of a sudden, for some unknown reason, one day, one word comes out, and the whole reading seems to change. And you think, I've seen that so many times. Great reason for reading the Bible. Because actually an interpretation comes from how your life is at that time. But it struck me a few weeks ago I preached and we were talking about the great catch of fish. The time when Jesus came and they didn't recognise him, they put the net out on the other side and they had so many fish that it almost broke the nets. And they listened. The disciples by that time were absolutely bereft. Jesus had left them and then come back. They were thrilled. Now he's left them again. And I would imagine that the disciples would be bereft again. I certainly would. But it's not, because the piece of scripture in Luke, it says that the disciples were filled and overwhelmed with joy and happiness as they waited the exam days to Pentecost. They were thrilled. Jesus' 40 days was preparation for the ministry that was to come. And that would not have happened if it hadn't been for his ascension to go to that right place. So Jesus, point three, Jesus' ascension is to his heavenly throne and his king. He is there to be king. We say it in the Apostles' Creed. He ascended into heavens and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Jesus is taken into a cloud, it tells us in Acts 9. And Stephen declares that he sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now you will remember from all the times that you've heard preaching and teaching and read your Bibles, that position was everything. Mainly because as they were lying down around the meal table, they'd lie on their left, eat with their right hand. So the person that was on their right, they could talk to. The person that was on their left had the back. So to be on their right hand, position was everything. The disciples said, "Lord, Lord, let me sit next to you." So Jesus is going, in Jewish belief, to that place which is the most important, to be at the right hand of God, to be there as king, enthroned. He needed to ascend to get there. So, point four. Jesus returns to his Father. I don't know if any of you have heard the expression, the cosmic Jesus. The cosmic Jesus, because Jesus, it tells us in Scripture, was there at the beginning of time, before all time was created. He was there in the cosmos. The cosmic Jesus. So when he goes to go to his Father, he doesn't go, he goes to return. It's a coming back. He's been called by God. God sent him to earth to come back. So Jesus is returning. It's important. The ascension is important because of that. It's not a leaving story, but a returning story. Before and after his death and resurrection, Jesus declares that he was sent by his Father and must return to his Father. So this is an important part of God's plan. So the ascension is important. It's the next milestone in that plan. And we come to point five. It says that the ascended Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, is there to be his mediator and priest. And that's in 1 Timothy. It's a unique mediator between God and man. His death and resurrection secure our forgiveness, our justification, and our reconciliation with God. That comes from Romans. So, the exalted Lord Jesus is now in heaven interceding for his people as our true and high priest and advocate, again in Romans. So when we pray to Jesus, who is in the most important place to be our mediator and our guide. At this point, I'm going to ask Keith, if it all works well, to show a clip that comes from My Kingdom Come, which, for those of you that get Roger Jones's text, it's all about the Lord's Prayer, and it comes from this. So if we can see that.
I investigate all sorts of things, including drug offences, assaults, courts, even up to 20 hours.
In the regular period, anything can go wrong. So maybe it's a complex process. And I say inside the body, it is fascinating inside the body. It is much more bigger than the universe. Everything, a slice of a football field, as part of a small body.
My name is Simon Lewis. I'm a firefighter. I've been a firefighter for 40 years.
I'm Andrew Godfrey, I'm a detective constable and I work at Leeton Police Station.
I am Dr. Rajesh in the Kuchipaki. I am a consultant for a few surgeons. Also, I do pediatric surgery.
Jesus Christ can be really lost. My whole life, we've always been. is something that God's given you. And one particular situation where I was very much of a collision. I was driving your cars at the time, and I really affected it. And I just prayed, God, please help.
Listen, definitely meeting people at their deepest need. It's really hard to think of anything that you deal with that is actually pleasant. And it could be really, really difficult to stay positive. Because there are times that you begin to look at life and you think, well, how can things be this terrible in the world?
As a consultant surgeon, I write here for things which I do is quite extensive. I did start with my prayer in the chapel. So every problem I give to the Lord, and He helps me, gives me guidance.
In the fall service, there's a lot of stress, and prayer can help. Whatever state the situation will be, we can pray.
Knowing that Jesus is just a prayer away really helps. Because of that, it does mean that some of my prayers are very much, God, I just really don't understand what's in front of me. When you're dealing with those really hard things in life and people are at their lowest, just being able to pray there and then on the spot. Everybody else doesn't need to know you're praying, but you can never pray there and then on the spot, and you know you are never alone into whatever situation you're going to.
You hear a small, gentle voice in your ears, and which will say, don't turn left, don't turn right, go straight, and that voice keeps me going every day. Prayer is a two-way communication to the Lord. Philosophy, you speak to Him first, and then you start the day. So it's about a two-way communication between me and my Father, and that goes on every minute from the time I start till the end.
We consider we have to make appointments to see politicians, interests in a certain way. But when we come to the King of Lords, He comes we are often to be ready.
And I know that He is seeing everywhere I walk, even to the cabinets are there, we're all over the place, and I need His guidance. So the prayer is important for me.
I'm just really thankful that I can pray at any time, because no matter how bad it ever gets out there that I deal with, or even in my own personal life, God is with me every step of the way.
I think without prayer, my life would be empty.
God, we have Jesus, as our mediator with God. And I love that, those prayers. You don't have to be in any special, you don't have to dress up, you don't have to be anything, you don't have to pretend to be anything, you can be you. And that's what's so important. The ascended Jesus went to sit at God's right hand and be our mediator. The last point is that the ascended Lord Jesus as King and Judge. And some of the things that we heard in there about, especially the detective saying, or the firefighter saying, you know, I get in situations and wonder, how can I deal with this? How can this happen? Well, the last one that we have is in Acts 11, when angels came to Jesus and said that Jesus will come to reign fully. He will be there as the mediator and judge. We don't have to worry about judging other people. People will be judged in that final day with fairness and equity that we can't understand. I don't know if anybody ever hears the prayers that I do with young people. It's something that when I was a dad of a young family, that our vicar out in the middle of the Worcestershire countryside, I always gave a special prayer for each one. And it touched me so much. It's something I continue to do. But one of the prayers that I have comes from the Psalms, and it said that there's no place on the earth, no place above the earth, or no place below the earth we can ever be separated from God's love. And it is that there's no time, place, situation ever to come that we ever need not be in that position where we can pray. The ascended Lord Jesus made that possible. So in the that period from Easter to Pentecost, we've been looking at the disciples in a human way. But these disciples had just spent the most intensive training course. They had spent 40 days, or give or take, had been prepared for what was going to happen. Now, during Jesus' life, he didn't ever heal and didn't ever do those things away from where he geographically was. That is dreadful English. Let me just say, Jesus healed man and man where he was, apart from on two occasions, Lazarus and the centurion's daughter. But on those occasions, he limited himself. And the miracles that he created, it strikes me, were never done for tricks. They were done for a purpose, and that purpose was in evangelism. If we look at the reading today, when they were locked up and chained away, and the chains fell off and they were still there, yet all of the jailer's family became Christian that day. It was done for a purpose. So we are prepared as Jesus' hands and feet and hearts, all of those things that Jesus was on earth, we are here now on earth. And we wait with anticipation for the power to come in Pentecost. So what we have is a series of events in Jesus' life of which the ascension is as important as any other in the story. Without Christmas we wouldn't have Easter. Without Easter we wouldn't have the resurrection. Without the resurrection we wouldn't have the ascension, and the ascension was necessary for Pentecost. They fall into place. It's part of the plan. So I've actually come to the point of being a really liberal, evangelical, charismatic Pentecostal follower of Christ. If there's anything I've forgotten, I apologise. All of those things are complex mixture, but we're all in that same position. Whatever our tradition, we're here. And the ascension may be seen as a Catholic thing, but actually it's not. It's the people in tradition and history that have gotten the way of not appreciating that because they saw what other people were doing. So I just hope that that is my little news. I'm sorry, I can't give you a bank holiday for Ascension Day next year. And if you've got a trouble not to bear, then please go into the Lickies with all the other men. That's fine, but the problem is you may end up being arrested. But just remember, ascension is important. And there's something about other traditions. If we stop looking at the way that other people see our God, then we know something of the face of God for ourselves. We can learn from everybody, because God created the whole earth and all the people within it. And the time we stop valuing people is the time we stop learning. And we always need to learn. Every day is a school day in God's will. Amen.
So because we are in that in-between time,